Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear a portion of the gospel lesson again from Mark chapter 8. "How many loaves do you have?" he asked them. "Seven," they said. He commanded the crowd to sit down on the ground. Taking the seven loaves, he gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. So they served them to the crowd. They also had a few small fish, and after he had blessed them, he said these were to be served as well. They ate and were satisfied. Then they collected seven large baskets of leftover pieces. About 4,000 were there. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only redeemer and savior, the bread of life. The theme, well, one of the themes for this Sunday is God's providence. And the miracle of our text speaks to how God provided for these 4,000 plus people. God does provide. In the small catechism, as we've seen before, in Luther's explanation of the first article of Creed, he tells us how God the Father provides for us. And Luther wisely divides it into three different categories, three different ways in which God provides for us. In case you're interested, it's on page 32 of the hymnary where you find this explanation to the first article. There Luther says, first of all, God has made me and has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason, and all my senses, and still preserves them. This is the first way that God provides for us. He gives us our bodies and the various parts that go along with it, and he preserves them. Second of all, God also gives us a support system. Luther goes on to say that he richly and daily provides me with food and clothing, home and family, property and goods, and all that I need to support this body and life. So not only does God give us this body with all its members and parts, but he gives us a support system so that this body we have with all its members can be properly supported. And most of that support system comes in the form of many things, but people as well. Third, not only does he give us our body and all its members and a support system, but he also gives us, Luther says, a security system or a protection system. He protects me from all danger, guards and keeps me from all evil. So you have these three ways in which God provides for us. He gives us our body and all its members, all its parts. He gives us the support system, and then he gives us this security system to protect us. I want to mention a few things about the first of these two ways in which God provides. So, he's given us our body, soul, eyes, ears, members, reason, senses. The question is why? Why does God give them to us? Well, basically two reasons. So that we can receive, but also so that we can give. You know, think of your hands. You receive things. You receive food from your hands. And with these same hands, we give food and other things to people. Or think of your eyes. With your eyes, you see things that are beautiful. I just drove through the mountains in Appalachia, just beautiful things to take in with my eyes. But with our eyes, we also see other people and their needs, and thus we can provide for them. Take your ears. With our ears, we hear beautiful music. We hear good stories. But with our ears, we also hear other people. and the troubles they're having or the joys they're having, so we can laugh with those who laugh and weep with those who weep. Take your mind. It's an amazing thing. We enjoy using our mind, thinking of things that are enjoyable to us and fun to do and fascinating. But with our minds, we also think of other people and their needs as well, too. So again, we receive things with everything that God has given us, all our members and so forth. But we also give. The problem is sin interferes with all this. Sin takes hold of these members of ours and sometimes misuses them and uses them in corrupt ways or doesn't use them as it should. And sometimes we are deprived of not using the parts of our body as they are designed to be used or we would like to use them. Sometimes we come down with an illness or an accident or aging or maybe the location we're in or the weather or some disaster or other circumstance. And sometimes other people or other groups may prevent us from using the parts of our bodies as we want to or as we should. And of course, we need to pray and use God's wisdom to figure out when we should say maybe no to others who are trying to restrict us in the use of our bodies as God wants us to be, as God wants them to be used. Wisdom, prayer. Regarding the support system, we have to admit that this is amazing, the support system that God has given us to provide for us. And much of that support system is other human beings or groups of human beings like the church, the family, the government. But these too can be affected by sin. Government can be corrupted. The family can break apart. The church can go astray. And so they kind of hinder us in being what we should be at times. And we also think of things like wars and plagues and epidemics and natural disasters. And so things just don't work as well. We aren't provided as well as we would like to be provided for. Now, people who are part of our support system may get sick or they may move away or they may die. And so all of a sudden, providence seems to be hindered for us. And as we've experienced in the last year, strange times, challenging times, again, calling for prayer and wisdom and how we deal with life. But still, God provides, and he provides for us very abundantly. And even if there's not perfect abundance, there is more abundance than we realize, and definitely more than we deserve. And in case anybody might be wondering why God does not provide for us perfectly when it comes to abundance, the answer, of course, is sin. King David in Psalm 38 said, "There is no soundness in my body because of your indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin." He realized that sin hindered him sometimes from receiving what he would like to receive, from receiving a full and perfect abundance from God. If there were no sin, we would lack no good thing, but as it is, we do lack things and we suffer. And these sufferings, these lack of things, are a reminder that we live in a world of sin, and it's a reminder of the reality of our own sin. But God provides. He provides for this body and this life, and he does so abundantly. But he also provides for the soul. And there's a very important connection between the body and the soul, and that's illustrated in our text for this morning. These people gathered with Jesus for those 3 days, because earlier they had heard with their ears about this Jesus and what he was doing. And some of them had seen with their eyes the amazing things he had been performing. And then when Jesus went up on this mountain near the Sea of Galilee for those 3 days, these same people, with their feet, followed him. And while they were there, they once again saw with their eyes amazing miracles, and they heard with their ears the teaching of the Word of God. They heard words that would feed the soul. They heard the words of eternal life. And with their minds, their physical minds, they understood. And with their souls, they believed. Again, with their ears, they heard about this Jesus. With their feet, they followed this Jesus. And once they got up there, they once again heard with their ears so that their souls could be fed. They were with Jesus up there for 3 days, and they didn't have enough food. Somebody could have objected and said, "Jesus, why did you allow these 4,000 men plus their wives and their children to come and remain with you for 3 days, endangering their health?" Now, you could have sent them away at the end of the first day, but you kept them here for 3 days, even though you knew it was risky to do so. Why? Well, you might say there's a twofold answer. The first answer, the simple answer, is because food for the soul is more important than food for the body. And the food for the soul is the Word of God. It is Christ himself. He explained this to them on a different occasion after the feeding of the 5,000. There were two feedings of thousands. After the first one, this is what Jesus said: "I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Truly I tell you, anyone who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread of life that comes down from heaven, so that anyone may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." So clearly, food for the soul is much more important than food for the body. Forgiveness provided free and complete in Christ. Eternal salvation and eternal life provided free and perfect through Christ. But here's something important to keep in mind. When these people followed Christ with their feet and gathered with Christ, and their ears heard his words, and their minds understood it, and their souls believed, he protected them and provided for them bodily as well, even though it may have seemed risky for them to be there for 3 days. You and I, we have our bodily needs, and God provides, but we have this greater need, the need of our souls. And so we need to follow Christ and gather together with him. We need to hear the word of God and receive it. We need to hear and receive forgiveness of our sins. We need to hear and receive Christ himself. And as we do so, we do not need to be afraid. As we do so, Jesus will watch over us and provide for us. Now, of course, we don't want to be foolish. I'm not suggesting we always gather together no matter how risky it is physically. If we live a couple of blocks from the church here and we have children and it's time for Sunday school and Bible study and we say, well, let's walk down to church this day, but there's a literal war going on outside, of course, that would be stupid and foolish. So we always need to make safe and reasonable decisions and take reasonable precautions in dangerous times when life is at risk, times when, you know, one's personal health might be clearly at stake, or there's a war, even as we know of this last year, when there's an epidemic or pandemic. But at the same time, we should not forget what happened here and how Jesus provided for them bodily as they gathered to be with Jesus, to hear his word, to hear Jesus, who is the bread of eternal life. And at the same time, we have to make sure that no one among us is criticized for taking safe and reasonable precautions in dangerous times. We understand that. One of the prayers I pray for our congregation, I pray for our synod too, is, Lord, make sure that we are not captive to fear in this life, and make sure that we do not have blind faith in the authorities over us. There are times when fear is very tempting and enticing and seems to make sense. But we have to remember that we are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Again, it's not saying we take ridiculous risks or anything like that, but we have to remember the providence of God. We can all make mistakes regarding what we are to do or not to do, your pastor included. We can go to one extreme or the other. So we have to continue to pray for wisdom. Hopefully, you know, the pandemic is over, but even if it is over, there will always be something else to come, which will encourage us to pray, and to be wise, and to trust in God, and take reasonable precautionary steps as well. But we are to remember that God provides for his people. And he is the one who has always encouraged us to come and follow him, to hear his word. And I would have to say, too, that I think our congregation has done a very, very admirable job over the last year in how we've approached this whole thing. So, well done, people. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, remember that God has made you. He has made you with your body, your soul, your eyes, ears, all your members, your reason, and all your senses, and he still preserves you. Remember that he has given your body an amazing support system. Remember that he has given your soul an amazing support system, the church. And if you can't come to church, the church will come to you. But I encourage you to continue to use your feet to come to church. Use your mouth to confess your sins. Use your ears to hear the word of God. Use your mind to understand it. Use your mouth to receive the body and blood of Christ. Use your soul to believe it. And use your voice to pray, praise, and give thanks with your fellow Christians. And as we do so, we are to remain confident in God's amazing providence. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.